night. It's another Monday night, and you are in the zone here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Dave and Glass with you again on another Monday night, and we are, as always, taking your phone calls at 333-2665. Lots to talk about tonight, as there is news in Big Ten basketball, as Bo Ryan will be hanging it up after one more season on the sideline for the Wisconsin Badgers. So we'll see what happens with all of that after Bo departs. But one more year, and he has decided he is going to resign from Wisconsin. We'll give you our thoughts on what the effect that'll have on the Big Ten here in a little while. But staying with basketball, we also had the NBA draft last week, and the Pacers with the 11th pick in the end stood pat. The often suggested or speculated pick of Willie Cauley-Stein did not come to pass because he was picked much, much earlier. So he was not even on the board for the Pacers to make that pick. They end up with Miles Turner, the 19-year-old freshman out of University of Texas in the first round. And a passing on Trey Lyles, who went with the next pick to Utah, the Indianapolis product. And Glass, David West, we heard the day before, had announced or at least been speculated that he was going to opt out of his contract. Still don't know if Roy Hibbert is going to decline his player option and also become a free agent. But they're certainly starting the big man renovation here back up by bringing in Miles Turner. But it looks to me what they get is a talented kid, but a kid, most importantly at this stage, sounds raw. Sounds like he's got a lot of work to do, but you've got a heck of an athlete. And they talked about getting faster, getting up and down the court more. Looks like he can do that. The question is going to be, I think, how quickly before he becomes a truly top-line productive type NBA player.
Oh, that's the million-dollar question, isn't it? And when you go the way the Pacers have gone, they would suggest in their process of turning things around or trying to, that they think that's going to happen quicker than it is later down the road. How good's Paul George? He's pretty good, right? Was it the end of his second year where he started getting some minutes and started? It wasn't his rookie year.
No, his second year he started coming on.
He wasn't all rookie anything or putting in huge minutes. So to think that this kid's going to make that jump.
Now, he was a defensive pest, if I remember the playoffs that year.
Again, it's going to be very interesting. Hibbert and West have until midnight tonight to declare what they're going to do. So, again, that's going to be a part of what's going to be there. You can't make Hibbert go anywhere, but the good news is, as we've mentioned, if Hibbert decides to stay, he is gone next year. It's an expiring contract, whatever you want to call it. It's done with. But with the Turner angle, what I found that was interesting about it, number one, the Pacers didn't have a chance to take a look at Cauley-Stein, who went 6 to Sacramento, is that right? And then Kaminsky went 9, I think, to Charlotte, because Michael Jordan loves Big Ten guys that are 6'9 or taller.
Yes, when Cauley-Stein went to Sacramento
to be with the 6th pick. Reunited with his buddy.
Frank Kaminsky, number 9.
DeMarcus Cousins. But those two picks weren't there for the Pacers, but I thought was interesting was the picks that followed right after, because you'd heard about how good Trey Lyles was and how interested Bird could have been. You heard that Devin Booker was probably the best pure shooter in the draft. Again, something else you put a check mark next to the Pacers needing.
Sure.
And Cameron Payne, a point guard, does everything well. Geez, average what, 18, 19 points a game? He's a sophomore, and he put up huge numbers. Now, I know it's Murray State, and some people might want to poo-poo that. Okay, remember, these guys are all getting looked at up and down all year long by the Pacers scouts. The interesting thing that Bird said when Turner was introduced in his press conference was, we did look at Lyles. We looked long and hard at him, but he thinks with the smaller lineup, he's going to have George playing the four more often, and he didn't think that there might have been enough time, because if George is running hot, he's going 40 minutes a night.
Yeah, absolutely.
And there's not going to be.
Why wouldn't you want him to be?
And if you put Lyles and George in the same lineup, you're hyper small.
Yeah.
Or you're going real big.
It's a lot. Yeah. I mean, it's a lot of those 3.5s that are in the lineup. And Trey Lyles, you know, looks to me to be a versatile guy and a good sized body already at this point. I mean, that's where Miles Turner is a little thinner. But it seems to me like Trey Lyles is ultimately going to be a little bit more of an inside threat. I mean, he's not a back-to-the-basket guy at all times, but he's certainly a lot thicker than Paul George is. You would think that's where he would gravitate, and if that were the line.
But George has shown he's a very, very good rebounder as well. Yes. Again, I think there would be clogging at that position, for lack of a better word. So it looks like the Pacers took a piece to the puzzle moving forward that is going to fill a need they didn't think that could be filled by Mahimi or anybody else. Sure. Because if you look after Trey Lyles, or after Miles Turner, excuse me.
It's all small guys.
It's all small guys until you get down to the guy that San Antonio drafted who will be all-league first team in 5 years. Just give him a couple minutes.
Yeah, it'll be Barcelona before then. Right. But you're right. It gets very small
from
that point forward.
But it is the piece that's the interesting part of it, because they decided they needed to fill the spot in the middle to get quicker, to get a little bit more athletic in that spot. And it's hard to argue that that's not the case, because if you've watched any of the tape on Turner, he's got long arms, he's got good bounce around the rim, he's a nice rim protector, needs to eat a few more sandwiches. I get all that. He doesn't need to be 300 pounds. He does. He no. just needs to get NBA big, and how quickly at 18, 19 he can get that weight on his frame. Because here's the thing. You watched Mozgov and Bogut knock around. Those guys are 265, yeah, 270, and they're just, they bump into you, you go flying across the room. Yeah. A lot of rebounding, Dave, at lower levels as athletic ability with a little bit of athletic ability. Mm. The bigger you get, playing-wise, the bigger competition you get, it starts to get into angles, it starts to get into reading the game, it starts to get into, I know when to grab you and pull when they're not looking.
Right.
Those tricks of the trade, you wonder who's going to teach Miles Turner that. And I know I'm going to call Miles Davis three or four times. It's just going to happen. We're just going to have...
He's that cool.
We're going to have... He seemed great in all the interviews I watched. He seemed like a real down-to-earth kid, real mellow.
Needs a haircut.
Yes, he does.
Different
I think
haircut.
That could have been a draft day haircut, along with the clothes he was
along
wearing.
Along with the suit,
and
yeah.
that. But interesting
that
side
oh
notes
gosh.
To that. He's worked out all summer long with Joe Abunazar, who used to be in Bloomington for a time working out guys. He worked out, I remember when back in the old days, he was working out Al Harrington when he came out for the Pacers. So there's a kind of a relationship in that sense. Andy Miller's his agent, which we have a buddy that used to work for Andy Miller.
Mm-hmm.
So just weird how that all comes together. But the athleticness of Turner was questioned by some if you read some of the pre-draft previews about how he runs.
Said he
funny.
Can't run.
And that was what Abunazar was taking care of leading up to the draft, where he'd work him out, he'd do 60 minutes a day of proper positioning, firing his glutes, all
it,
that
it
stuff.
It certainly was strange to hear him say that he has trouble running in a straight line.
Yes.
It's like, wait
well,
a second.
He's all gangly. He's got stuff
well,
going
I get
every
that,
direction.
But just, you know, it's, I can understand how it happens when you're 7 feet tall, but it sounds odd
that,
when you're picking an athlete.
And
you
that
can't
goes
run
back
straight.
To the original point is they must see so much upside in him
yeah.
that he can shoot the ball face up. I saw somewhere that someone talked about how many three-pointers he made during the year. That's fantastic.
It was like 25%, but he was 17, so it's not like he shot none of them. I think it was 17
right.
to 60
Remember
or something.
Remember how all Indiana people wanted to see Cody Zeller shoot that shot in college,
right.
and we saw what happened.
Twice.
Noah Vonleh do it, and then he started yeah. knocking him down. So, again, if that talent level is there, number one, he's super young. And we talked about the draft before when we were leading up to this point, talking about Kaminsky, Cauley-Stein, guys that have been in college a long time.
Mm-hmm.
When they go through that rookie contract, they're in their late 20s. And now you've got a guy that's going to be 23 when his rookie contract's
right.
over. So you really have a chance to stretch that from 19 to 30 or whatever George's run out to, because it's the same thing. George
right.
came out at 19 or 20,
yep.
and it's on that same kind of timeline. And that doesn't mean he's going to get a max contract down the road. But the thing that they talked about before the draft, they said we have to be good in the draft because we are not a haven for free agents.
Right.
So you've got to either trade really well or you have to draft really well. I can't tell you here on the 29th day of June if this pick 4 years from now, 3 years from now, 2 years from now, or next April is going to be a really good pick, because the kid is so raw. And when you only play 22 minutes a game at Texas,
right.
that's good. But there was a reason he only played 22 minutes a game, because he probably wasn't ready to run up and down the court 37 minutes in a pretty good Big 12 league that sent how many teams to tournament? Eight?
Yeah, they had eight guys that played 20 minutes or more on
right.
that team,
and
so they had a lot of guys. But as we'll talk about after the break, if you look back at Miles Turner, he's 1 year at Texas. He had some really good games statistically that came against the likes of Lipscomb and SF Austin and stuff like that. And then, you know, there weren't a lot of great, phenomenal statistical games within the Big 12 season, and that has to at least be a question at this point when it comes to Miles Turner. 19 years old, 7-footer, will step in at some point at center. We'll see if he starts from day one. Kind of doubt it, but a little bit of a project here, but not a crazy project. We'll talk a little bit more about Miles Turner and the second round draft pick when we get back from the break. 333-2665 is the phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL.
Thanks to J&S Locksmith, where you'll find everything for the residential or commercial outdoor technician for being with us today. J&S, 508 West 17th Street here in Bloomington.
Programming note, we got Reds baseball tonight right after the show, 7 o'clock. Minnesota is in town tonight and tomorrow. We'll have tomorrow night also for the Reds, and we'll pick them up back on Friday night. Of course, 4th of July weekend upcoming. Talking about the NBA draft, Miles Turner is the 11th pick overall to the Pacers. 19-year-old, listed 6'11", 240 here online, somewhere in that neighborhood. I'm not sure he looks 240.
Yeah, I saw 7'2" today. Yeah. I mean, he needs to put on a little bit of weight, but there's no questioning the frame. There's no questioning. He obviously has some talent. There's no doubt about it.
He's got talent. He was a top 10 recruit
nationally. Two in the country, yeah.
So, you know, the kid's got some talent. What concerned me a bit, and again, he's a talented kid, but this, I think, will tell you a little bit about what you should expect out of him with the Pacers. His leading scoring game was 26 points against Lipscomb. His next one, he had 25 points twice against St. Francis and late in the season against Texas Tech. He played less than 18 minutes in his last four games. That was conference games, conference tournament, and a loss to Butler. He scored 2 points and had 10 rebounds in 16 minutes against Butler. Shows a little bit more in the rebounding side than scoring. Took him a while to get going in the scoring end. You know, played Cal, played Iowa, played UConn, played Kentucky, all out of conference, played Stanford, no double digits in any of those scoring. This guy's not going to walk in the door lighting the world on fire. This is not Davis, who's going to shock you all of a sudden with his prowess, you don't think. He's a guy that's got to grow up a little bit. And so the good news, I suppose, is you got a Pacers team that's going to be a little bit in flux that he can do that with, and hopefully Paul George can help him through this. But it's going to be a young guy on a young team.
Well, and that's going to be the interesting part of that, because in free agency, if or how the Pacers move around, who are they going to surround him with? If Roy Hibbert stays, you're covered at the center position, whether you like
for
it
now,
or not,
yeah, right.
You are. So you've got a year. He's got a year to at least figure out how to play where he's not going to be called on night in, night out. If Hibbert opts out, Dave, then you get into some deep clover on what's going to go on with that. But remember, as we talked about, there was no other center in the first round. Guillermo Hernan Gomez went in the second round, fourth pick, and then the kid from...
Yeah, Bobby Portis is the other kind of big
power
guy.
Forward, but that's but that's not what the Pacers wanted, because Lyles would have been that guy. They wanted to get a guy that was a truer center, and the Pacers are going to be patient and then hopefully watch him develop. I'm going to jump here and make a leap. Don't knock me out, but I'm not connecting all these dots. Jermaine O'Neal sat on the bench for 3 years at Portland. Portland got tired of waiting on him, traded him for Dale Davis, and the Pacers came in, Bird stopped coaching, Isaiah took over, and Jermaine O'Neal blossomed.
Yeah.
So I'm.
We've seen the Pacers take some young guys
the last two decades.
Well, and there's a lot of them. I mean, you think of Jonathan Bender,
a different player,
but a big, long, gangly guy. Yeah. You know, different
That's
story.
That's been a
hopefully.
Prevailing angle for this franchise. But O'Neal turned into be a really nice player
once
he grew into his frame. It took him 3 years. Hopefully it won't take Turner that long, especially at number 11. That's the tough part. If Turner was a 25th pick or 26th pick, no one's putting this expectation on him.
Right.
When you're up this high, the Pacers tried it old with Hansborough. They tried a four-year college guy that played in a tough league in the ACC, and it didn't translate to the NBA level. Hopefully this new upper-tempo offense, and again, letting the kid block shots, letting him grab rebounds where he doesn't have to be an offensive focus, where you worry about 25 points a night, let him ease into the NBA, and that's going to be part of it.
Last year.
And you just can't put where he went to school, where he grew up, who his agent is, where he's drafted. That you don't put that in the ometer, and it spits out how many numbers he should average throughout the year. He's living on his own. He's not going to have a big support group around him. He's going to be responsible for doing what he do in the downtime in the NBA. A lot of guys struggle with that.
Right.
And you hope they did their homework, they being the Pacers, finding out that he's a good character kid, which it seems like, a good quality kid, comes from a really good family. That's not going to be an issue where basketball will be. Lance Stevenson might be a little bit different.
Well, it was a second-round draft pick.
They knew there was a question mark. It doesn't seem to be this way with Turner, and that's encouraging, where you don't have that to worry about. You just have basketball to worry about.
333-2665 is our phone number. Last year's number one draft pick became Luis Scola. that was part of the trade to bring him into the team. And we said at the time this team needed some bench scoring and some bench presence, and it did.
And when that trade
didn't realize
was made,
it was going to get into all the injuries
and
that
when
it got
that
into.
Trade was made. Yeah. Paul George was being Paul George.
Yeah, exactly.
And David
right.
West, you expected a good 75 game
season.
And
remember, coming off the end, you know, the Eastern Conference Finals.
That looked like to be the piece that was going to put them over the hump.
Absolutely.
And again, teams get unlucky, and that's what happened to the Pacers. And then the other interesting part of the draft, as we talk about, is pick number two. And that was the Pac-12 player of the year, Joseph Young. And you don't fake it being the Pac-12 player of the year. That's not something where you just garner a couple votes. If you look at his scoring numbers, I think he started at Houston, then transferred to Oregon for his last 2 years. It's 18, 19, 20. The guy can put the ball in the basket, but he's 6'2", 185 pounds. Sounds like Monte Ellis, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Well, and Rodney Stuckey, a little bit bigger, a little bit savvier. And, again, I can't get excited about number two picks, Dave, because if you look at the Pacers' history and you look at a lot of teams' history, you can name the six second-round picks that have been good. Ginobili.
Right.
You can just there's only a handful of those guys that jump off the page to you. So if he can shoot his way onto the team, you know my drill. If you can shoot the ball in the NBA at that level, mm-hmm. in the summer league or wherever it is, they will find a spot for you.
Well, and look,
and if that's what the Pacers want, it's not a lockdown defensive team anymore, Dave. They need guys that can fill it up. Well, and again, that's the right angle to take. I don't know if it's going to work out.
And again, and this is not a comparison, but I want to bring it up. The team that just won the NBA Finals was not a team full of a bunch of huge guys in their backcourt. You know, a 6'2 guy coming off the bench, and let's keep this in mind. I mean, we're not talking about – too many people think the NBA, and they think draft, and they think, are you ready? Can you go? Yada, yada, yada. They think, oh, well, you got to turn into Chris Paul. No, you don't have to turn into Chris Paul. You got to be a productive player, and a guy like this can come off your bench.
The guy doesn't hurt the team.
Hit a few shots. He is a senior, so he's been around for a long time. He's got some good experience. He's 6'2". You would think it's 6'2". You might like to stick the ball in his hands a little bit too and get him to be a little bit of a controller player in that regards, but a point guard that can shoot the ball would be a fantastic addition to any team. And again, what you need is some direction off the bench or a little bit more direction, a little bit more scoring off the bench. You do not need this guy to come in and take over for George Hill. So let's see what happens. I like the fact, and we talked about this leading up to the draft, I like the fact that this guy's a scorer. You know, to me, right now in the NBA, you've got to be able to score. We talk
Rodney
about it
Stuckey.
All the time. You've got to be able to put the ball in the basket. And the Golden State Warriors proved that you want a lot of guys that can do that. And the Cleveland Cavaliers proved why it doesn't work if you don't got them, because they couldn't
hurt.
Put it in the basket.
You're
right.
Yep.
And Golden State, every one of those guys, for the most part, could shoot.
Yep.
The only guy that couldn't was suddenly Andrew Bogut. He just became one of the best defensive players in the
league. Yeah, and he didn't even play in the finals, and they still won.
Yeah.
That was a bizarre.
But you've got to put it in the basket.
Bizarre.
You've got to have guys that can score, and you've got to have multiple options.
And it goes back to what Golden State did when they were struggling. They got rid of Bogut and went small.
Mm-hmm.
And Larry Bird obviously was watching a little bit of
that.
You don't have to go small every night. You don't have to go small every for long periods at a time. It's just when things – you have to have different ways to attack in the NBA, and you have to have different ways to defend, because there's nobody that's running full court trap, full press, scoring 165 points. It's not happening. Why? Well, there's too many other good players. But what you saw from Golden State was they had stockpiled guys that could put the ball in the basket. Their 8-9 guys destroyed Cleveland's 8-9 guys. It wasn't even close to being a fair fight. What the Pacers struggled with last year with their injuries was they didn't have enough guys to score. So George Hill at the end of games is dead because he's already taken 27 shots and there's nobody else to go.
Well, that's
when
injuries.
Stuckey was healthy, he was good.
I mean, that's
right.
Unfortunate. That's not about a bad lineup or a bad roster necessarily.
But here's the point about Stuckey. He's a free agent. Scola, free agent.
Yeah,
all these pieces you thought for 1 year would help you get to where you needed to get to.
Got you ninth.
They got you ninth by the last game of the season. But the point is, you've seen kind of what works. Where's Chris Copeland? That guy can shoot. He can't guard anybody. Can't play.
Yeah.
So now is he back in the
is
fold?
Because
you don't
have
to worry about that. It's interesting to see where it was going to be. But what the Pacers told you was the middle of the floor needed the most attention. Was he the best player available? I don't think that was the case, because he was the best center available, if not the only center left to be available.
Right.
So what that tells me is they have to have other plans somewhere, whether it's trading down the line or free agency, whatever it is, because Paul George and George Hill need scoring options because, as you mentioned, Miles Turner isn't going to walk in and be that scoring option.
Miles Turner, they worked out with Frank Kaminsky, so they worked him out hard. Joseph Young finished with just short of 21 points a game on the season.
Yeah, score, no question.
Ninth in the country.
Pac-10, not known as a lockdown defensive league either. All those 90, games are 98-94. 90%
career free throw percentage. Had 3.8 assists a game. Was sixth in the Pac-10 with that number last year. 91 three-pointers made. Again, the guy can put it up. He put up 57 points in two games in the NCAA tournament, 27 against Oklahoma State and 30 against a Wisconsin team that we saw a lot of last year. So he can light it up. There's no question there.
He can, but just the second-round picks, it's hard to get into the league unless you have slipped through the cracks.
Absolutely.
And that's what Bert said. Bert said we were shocked to find him at 42.
This is a team that has a chance to at least stick. You got to be one of the 15, and with the upheaval you mentioned and all these guys that are free agents, he's got a chance at least to stick. Look, the number 12 doesn't get a whole lot of time anyway. So,
no, it does not.
But, you know, to have that option, to get that experience, we'll see what he can do down the line. I like the fact that he can shoot. Like anybody else, if he's 6'2", 180 might be a little thin for him at the end of the day in the NBA is what he's listed as right now. But again, you get a senior, you get an experienced
guy. The Pacers are not at the point where they can get some kid again from somewhere in Eastern Europe and stack him away for two or three years. Because all those guys that have been stacked away for over two or three years from the last 10 years, none of them ever got to the league. And that's the thing to remember with second-round picks. They usually don't pan out because it's a numbers game. And if they work out, it's because they played their way into it. So it is a meritocracy in that sense. They're not held any contractual status that hurts the team financially. That is not the point at all. Roy Hibbert, on the other hand, he will, but at least he's a body, and the Pacers need some bodies right now, Dave. I don't know how much cash is going to help them fix this overnight.
Got to take another quick break. We have more to talk about with the NBA draft when we get back. Dave and Glass with you in the Zone. All right, you're back in the Zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL.
Williams Brothers Healthcare Pharmacy is a family-owned business offering personalized expert advice on a wide range of pharmacy services. 574 Landmark Avenue, Williams Brothers, committed to creating customers for life. Thanks to Williams Brothers for being part of the program every Monday and Wednesday.
And we got Reds baseball coming up here right after the show as the Minnesota Twins are in town. Should note real quickly, I mentioned a couple shooting stats for Joseph Young. Miles Turner, 84% free throw shooter.
Yeah, solid.
We like our fundamental guys around here.
Well, if it's free points, ask Dwight Howard and Shaq and everybody else.
Well, exactly
those things go down
you
the drain.
You don't want to be a liability.
Well, especially on a team, Dave, as we've mentioned, without affluent scoring options, it's nice if a guy gets hacked in the act and can knock down two of them. That will keep you on the court longer than it won't, especially if you're a young up-and-coming guy. So, again, it's exciting for the Pacers. I saw a column by Greg Doyle in the Indy Star saying it's time to start dreaming, Pacer
fans.
He's trying to sell newspapers is what he's trying to do.
Right now.
That wasn't where I thought this draft put the Pacers because the kid's 18 and he's got probably, and we hope, a great upside, but he is not an instant fix this problem right now. David West being gone doesn't help anything. Roy Hibbert stays for a year or goes, I don't think any of that helps. Hibbert at least will give you pro NBA minutes where you don't have to worry about in the sense of he knows how to run, he knows how to get stuff done.
Right.
He's a proven NBA
player.
He'll be
player. A pro about it.
Yes. And you know why? Because here's what happens. When your contract expires and you dog it for a year,
you got to
get another one.
That's
so guys in a contract year, you've seen this many times in Major League Baseball.
Yeah,
You've seen it in the NBA as well. And a lot of guys are opting out right now because the new collective bargaining agreement will kick in and guys can make
more
money. So if he wants to test the free agent market now, he will probably not be signed to a contract of his liking based on his performance, especially where he's at. So he needs to play himself into a new contract. And if he uses the Pacers to do that, the Pacers will gladly use his services because that will help the team moving forward.
Well, you were talking about Greg Doyle. I'm not going to go in too much into what Greg's been writing recently because it's been so all over the map with the Pacers. I don't know if he's actually paying attention. But look, the fact here is you got Miles Turner, you got a 19-year-old kid.
Dare that, people to dream about
that,
what?
That did not have his best games against his best competition. To think he's going to walk in the door and replace Roy Hibbert in anything other than a jersey on the floor for a period of minutes, I think it'd be a little bit foolish. Give this kid a little bit of time to work into it. He's 19, and hopefully he will work out for the best. Joseph Young getting second-round draft pick. We'll see what happens. Make the roster. Maybe in a year or two you're contributing a little bit off the bench, and that would be certainly helpful for this team. There was a story at the top of the draft or near the top of the draft. Karl Anthony Towns was pretty well known to be going first
yes.
overall. But it was expected, at least, that Jahlil Okafor would probably be the second overall pick. But the Lakers threw a little bit of a curveball, taking D'Angelo Russell. And I know you love this guy.
Oh,
I like this
him.
Guy
He's
a lot.
Lightning.
And as far as translating over into the NBA, and if there's any team that likes to have their showtime and their playmaker with the ball in his hand, it is the Los Angeles Lakers needs that star. This kid has a real chance to be that star.
And the other point is he doesn't have to come in and carry the freight like he did last year at Ohio State. And he did a pretty good job.
He did a really good job.
But he doesn't have to because Kobe's there and you know it's going up 35 times a night with him. I think the reason why the Lakers stayed away from Okafor. It's just you kind of saw it in the NCAA. I mean, Kaminsky just took him apart. Let's be fair. Okafor is not a very good defender. He's a really good low post presence, score, rebounder. Yeah,
he's hard to handle on the block.
He is, but so is Julius Randle.
Yeah,
they already have him. They're
yeah,
already
exactly.
invested in him. So again, you get congestion in some of those positions.
Right.
That floor needs to spread because Kobe Bryant needs to do lots of things.
We've been talking for several years now about what Kobe needs is a guy
yeah.
next to him, a running mate that can handle the ball, that can shoot the ball, somebody that can help him back
yeah,
there.
Yeah, the rich kind of get a little richer on that, but the Lakers did stink it up last year. But again, you have these pieces, and whether you go second or third, I don't think Okafor cares because what you're going to learn in professional sports is you have to be a pro. Kevin Love went to Minnesota, wasn't real thrilled about that, and just racked up 25 and 13 every night for 4 years and then got out. That's how you get yourself out of a bad situation. You play yourself out of it. That's what professionals do. So, again, that's the Lakers' problem. But, yeah, Russell's going to be it. That's going to be – the one thing I want to see is how his speed translates at that level because he was one step ahead of everybody in college basketball.
Yeah.
He was a half click quicker than everybody. He's either going to
That's why you can think he can show up right away and at least produce.
Yeah, because there's not a lot of guys that slow him down one on one.
No, and he's 6'5". He's got a great body for the NBA.
Left-handed, so that's always goofy, hard to guard.
Yeah.
So interesting, but yes, it was Lakers making a move, and if anything, it reinforces what Bird's talking about. The Lakers didn't go big and bulky and throw another 6'10"
right.
guy in the middle of their
beat
paint.
You into submission.
They're gonna run around you if you can't catch them. Well, maybe you can't beat them. So that's interesting how that came about. But there was no doubt that Karl Anthony Towns, talk about a guy got better throughout his entire year.
He was injured early in the season too, wasn't he?
I think he did have a hand problem. But the more minutes he got with Kentucky, and he put him on the back in that Notre Dame game,
and then
they quit throwing him the ball for just oh man, just made you
333-2665 is our phone number. Another story in the lottery, and this is a little bit close to us
and
here in Indiana.
Were in the lottery, don't forget that.
Well, yes, but us in Indiana, we had some interests in this certainly. Frank Kaminsky went number 9 to the Charlotte Hornets, who already had a pair of big men from Indiana in Cody Zeller and Noah Vonleh. Traded away Noah Vonleh just before the draft to the Clippers.
And just,
so Noah will be there.
Bismarck Biyombo, a former top 10 pick. They just told him they're not going to re-up him, so he's an unrestricted free agent.
But
so
here's Frank Kaminsky and Cody Zeller. You've seen a lot of these guys over the last few years. Is this a fearsome twosome? Do you put these two guys out there together?
I have no idea what the Charlotte Hornets are doing. And Michael Jordan, year after year after year, just throws in his favorite player and hopes it all comes together. But again, go look up their drafts from the last 4 years. It's Kidd Gilchrist, who's 6'7", and a good defensive player who's been has had tons of injury problems as well. And then you had Biyombo You had Zeller, you had Vonleh, and now you have Kaminsky. That's what's going on there. So I can't tell you what's happening. Don't they have Kemba Walker? Don't they have a guy who can score?
So. I mean,
but Kaminsky's going to fit anywhere he goes. And, again, he might not be the most solid defender ever, but it's, again, if your motif mantra is it's a scoring league, well, Kaminsky can go and face you up from 23 feet, knock down jumpers at 6'11". And that's the key. That's another thing that Pacers just missed out on Justice Winslow. I thought that would have been a huge steal. He's similar to George.
They were comparing him to Dwayne Wade.
He's just got the body of Adonis, and he's explosive, and he's left-handed. He didn't shoot it great at Duke, but you could just tell when he was on the floor.
I like this toughness.
Did you see a lot of guys stop him going to the basket? I know it's a different level, but
This is completely,
that's where the league's going. The league's going to 6'6".
Completely
six,
unfair. Colin Hartman stepped in for this team and gave you some nice minutes. Justice Winslow at 6'6" did not wow you with his shooting, but for a big man, that was as close to a big man as they got when Jahlil Okafor got off the floor. He played that part as well as you possibly could at 6'6".
He gets in transition, he dunks, he gets all after it, and the Heat are laughing all the way to the bank on any of that. So, again, the we'll see how the new NBA develops itself. And then you have the Philadelphia 76ers, who are in the lottery every year because they're terrible, go Nerlens Noel, Joel Embiid, and now Jahlil Okafor. So,
well, they missed on Embiid big time.
Well, he's been hurt. That's been the problem. And Nerlens Noel finally...
Nerlens was hurt, too.
He tore his knee up before that. He at least played 70-something games last year. But again, the point is you're clogging your lane with three big guys. You trade Michael Carter-Williams. You think the Pacers have problems.
Yeah, the rookie of the year.
You ain't Philly. That's the good news on any of that. The summer league starts for the Pacers coming up. What is that, next week? Christian Watford's going to be on their squad, along with obviously Joe Young and Miles Turner, all heading out that way. So you'll see these guys get rocking and rolling. Free agent camp, rookie camp begins Wednesday and runs through Friday before the Pacers leave for the Orlando Pro Summer League. Solomon Hill, their number one pick from 2013, boy, that seems like 20 years ago,
not 2 years ago,
is in the mix for that as well. It'd be nice to get something out of, again, a first-round pick. And what was he, 28, 29?
He was earlier than that.
He wasn't a guy that you...
23rd.
Okay, so not lottery status or in that angle. Shane Whittington, he's in his second season. Didn't they make a move for 6'11", 250? He was hurt all last year as well. John Octia, some other names you might have recognized. So those are the guys that will be fighting for to make the big squad. And that takes place again Wednesday, and then they head to Orlando for summer league probably after the holiday. On that. So the Pacers lining up. Some interesting angles. Do the Pacers look to bring back Rodney Stuckey to have that guy off the... Stuckey's only 29.
Yeah.
He seems like he's 40.
Miles is 28. I mean, these are guys you got to have on this team, don't you? You've got to have some degree of a veteran presence.
You do. And
you think Paul George is going to come back to glory that he was at before, but that's a big ask. You got to have options.
Stuckey scored himself into a new contract. That's what he did, and he gives you that option for your second team where you don't have to hurry Joe Young along. But at 29, someone's going to give Stuckey a 3 or 4 year deal. That's the problem. Are the Pacers going to do it?
And you've got that money now, at least some of it, with David West coming off the books. We'll see if Hibbert comes off the books. You're not going to give Rodney Stuckey a max contract.
No, but
you can give him some money.
But last year he was on the $1.3 million veterans minimum, and he's going to command more than that. Why?
Sure.
He performed.
He performed.
Luis
sure.
Scola, again, a hole in your paint right now.
Yeah.
He's a free agent. His price just went up once West left. His price went up through the roof, at least to the Pacers. Again, he's a guy that showed he can play in that. He can knock down jumpers. He's tough. I don't know if he's the greatest locker room guy, but at least he's been in the league for 10, 12 years.
Great experience.
Again, putting all the pieces of the puzzle is fun, but you still got to put people in the stands, and you still have to be competitive. And there's just – for this Pacer team right now, there's too many unknowns for me. I don't know how good Paul George is going to be next year.
Well, that's the huge biggest key of all.
Right. I don't know how good Miles Turner is going to be. Larry Bird says, hey, we're looking in the second half of the year for him to make that leap, and I hope he does.
That might be optimistic, to be honest.
George Hill's had injury problems throughout his career, and you just look at – and it's a little Swiss cheesy. And if Hibbert stays – the paper argument for Hibbert is, okay, he's got to have a big year if he's going to get paid,
sure,
but that doesn't translate – That doesn't mean it's going to happen. He has to want to have a big year. He has to want to do. He might be content making $5 million a year being a backup somewhere because he's done with it.
Right, and that's fine.
And that's what you don't know. So the Pacers have way more questions than any answers. This draft, for me, Dave, did not solve all those issues because of the guys you brought in. Turner is going to be hopefully a nice player. And then you got Young, who's a second-round pick.
I don't understand the idea of this dream article that was written. Yeah, it's hugely transitional, this team is. And we don't know what it's going to look like. And most importantly, again, Paul George. We don't know what Paul George is going to be for sure. Got to take a quick break. 333-2665 is the phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the Zone. All right, you're back in the Zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL.
Thanks to J&S Locksmith. They're at 508 West 17th Street. You'll find everything for the residential or commercial outdoor technician. Thanks to J&S. They're with us every Monday and Wednesday here on In the Zone.
Programming notes here. We've got Reds baseball tonight and tomorrow, 7 o'clock both nights. Minnesota is in town. We'll be back Wednesday, of course, 6 o'clock, so you'll want to tune in for that. Tomorrow night, we have Time Out for Sports with Joe Smith. He will have South's state champ pole vaulter, Deacon Voles, on the show tomorrow night. And we pick the Reds back up on Friday and Saturday, 7 o'clock both nights. So the big red machine on red, white, and blue day.
Yeah, tune-up.
And fireworks. Yeah, big red, white, blue. They do. Machine. And they're not getting healthy anytime real soon.
Won 3 series in a row before forgetting their bats before they went to the Mets on the weekend, scored. Let's see, got beat 2-1, 2-1, 7-2, and half those were solo home runs, so not a whole lot going on.
The big news in Big Ten sports was news this afternoon that Bo Ryan has released information that he will be coaching one more year for the University of Wisconsin
and then
retiring.
Party in my house.
Look, well, you know what? I respect the heck out of what he gets
too.
Out of his teams.
Get out of here,
I won't
please.
Be sorry to see him go.
In the top four every year. Every year.
Yeah, every year.
And the last 2 years, Final Fours, I lost track how many Big Ten championships he's won. But thought about going out right at the end of last season. Barry Alvarez, the AD at Wisconsin. Well, they don't make a rash decision now. Take a couple months and think about it. There were some rumbling out of Wisconsin that people were surprised he continued on for one more year. So they're not sure if the angle is making sure to bring in his assistant to make sure he gets
that's
the
part of
job.
The release is that he mentions his assistant.
He would like for that to happen, so I'm not sure what kind of deals
Barry might not
out.
Care
on all of that. Exactly right. But the one thing that Wisconsin hasn't had a problem with since Dick Bennett took over for Steve Yoder back in the late 90s was continuity. It seems like it just doesn't miss a beat. Bennett took those teams on that style that he coached to a Final Four here in Indianapolis. Yep. And it had some decent players out of there. Well, there's Stu Jackson in there at some point as well. I think
Stu was there for 2 years. Stan Van Gundy had 1 year, and then Dick Bennett for 6 years.
They tried everything else. And again, just it's been since Bennett's been there, it's been awfully, awfully steady. As that program is pretty strong. So we wish Bo the best. He's entertaining. He's funny. He's crabby. He's irritable, just like the rest of us. Maybe that's why we all understand him and get away. But I won't miss him on the other sideline because I'm not even going to look up Indiana's record against him. It's not any good.
Well, certainly we've watched this team become one of the best offensive teams we've seen the last 2 years in college basketball that we can remember.
Evolved with your talent.
66-12 the last 2 years. And again, he has talent on this team. He might not have, certainly does not have Kentucky Duke talent on a regular basis. This team is his most talented, I think, by far. So that's part of why you get what you get. But he's always kind of the pulling the strings
talent,
guy.
Right?
That team understood that, you know, if he told you to do something, you're going to do it or you ain't going to get out on the floor. And he, you know, what always amazed me, it just amazes me in this day and age of all the physical play that's out there in college basketball nowadays, that those teams were always among the least fouling wise, at least called for fouls. And you can joke about the refs not calling them on it and not having the guts to do it, whatever you want to do. they concentrate on that. They try hard on that, and it clearly works.
It pays off. Yep. It's like the teams that are known to be scrappy. They sometimes get the 50-50 calls that don't go their way when they're making steals. And your reputation sometimes does precede you, and you get the break because, hey, they're supposed to do that. That's what we heard. But remember, this team was inept offensively three or four years ago.
Yeah,
inept.
Absolutely.
They would hope that Brusewitz or Bergeron would knock down a three and keep him in the game till what was the little guard's name? Jordan Taylor. Jordan Taylor could not. He scored 39 points one night, and they have 42 at the end of the game.
Yeah.
And for him to figure it out,
God, he killed us in
with
there.
Deckard, but with Deckard and Kaminsky, and even with Hayes and Koenig, and even Jackson's kid Trayvon Jackson, he changed. You saw him change. He got with the times and said, "Hey, we're really good defensively. Let's be pretty good." And then move it offensively.
Right.
And then they went to being a top five team offensively in the country and a top 10 defensive team in the country.
And I didn't see a lot of difference with their offense, but you got more talent. Yep. I mean, you did. You have more talent.
But here's the thing.
They have some freedom in that offense.
He had to recruit those players, or his staff recruited those players. And what happens, he sold those guys on that stuff.
Yeah. Well, think about this.
He sold them on a dumpster fire of offense
and got
them to play.
That team should have had Jared Uthoff.
Sure, from Iowa,
bombing
right?
From threes also. But, so talking about more offense.
Him, Decker, and Kaminsky all in the same spot on the floor. It would have been a nice – you can see why he left. But the point was they recruited those guys when it was not the pretty thing to watch offensively.
Right.
Remember, they're one Andrew Harrison 26-footer away from back-to-back championship games.
Yeah.
Oof.
Yeah.
You mentioned
Sam Decker went 18 to the Rockets.
First time Wisconsin's had two guys ever drafted in the first round, so that tells you.
Yeah,
what it's been.
He's got talent. I mean, Decker was a top 15 guy coming out of it. Kaminsky was the unknown.
Doesn't mean he would be an NBA pick.
No, of course not.
Those guys fall off.
Of course not.
And
you saw some. Yeah, I mean, you mentioned one of the Harrisons. It was a top five or top eight guy coming out of high school. Didn't get drafted. So certainly it happens.
It does. But Bo, fare ye well. We'll see you. I don't know if we see you this year, but we'll give you a boo and a cheer all at the same time. You've earned them both. And the Big Ten will not that's going to be an interesting job there, because this will be that program's got some standards now that
he has never finished worse than a tie for fourth.
That's unbelievable.
That
and that's not in 5 years either. How many years is that? 12? 11?
14? 6?
14 years. Let me get your bags.
Yeah.
You need help
at Wisconsin.
You need help clean out the office
at Wisconsin. This is not Michigan.
No, it's not. This is not Michigan.
Ohio
State,
where you got all the basketball resources in the world leading in
or 17th
or around
Street.
Here. Yeah. Exactly right.
17th Street.
So we'll all toast Bo on his way out of town.
We'll help push you, whatever you need.
Great
Get
time
out.
There, no question about it. Great coach.
Take a bow.
One more time, we'll be rid of him. Got to take off, folks. That's what the music means. We'll be back Wednesday, so tune in then. Stay tuned. We do have Reds baseball coming up here right after the top of the hour, so don't go anywhere. You've been in the zone.